I kind of went from sort of, you know, operating at 100% down to 40%. And then things started kind of just moving. I think sometimes you actually just have to keep things moving, but just not hold on so, so, so tight.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. This week, I'm chatting to Zoe Desmond, the founder of Frollo. This is one of those ideas that you go, surely this exists, but it doesn't. Frollo is a network for single parents in London, UK, Ireland, and soon the world. It's an incredible idea. It's so beautiful in its simplicity and is deeply personal for Zoe as she was solving her own problem. Really good chat. Zoe's an all-around good person. And I think you're going to really have fun with this one. This is my chat with Zoe Desmond, the founder of Frollo. And first, a quick thank you to my sponsors, Sage. Working smarter is the key to success as an entrepreneur in 2022. That is why I've partnered with Sage. Sage is the trusted global provider of finance, HR, and payroll software to help small and medium businesses like me and you thrive. To learn more about Sage, go to sage.com or click the link in the pod description. Zoe, welcome to the pod.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm delighted to chat to you.
Yeah, you too.
We had tech gremlins, but resolved. The joy of 2022.
Always the way. Who would use technology, honestly?
I always get annoyed and then I'm like, you know what? You wouldn't be having these conversations if it wasn't there. So everything in proportion. Zoe, yes. Tell me about Frollo.
So Frollo is the single parent hub, the first single parent hub of its kind globally. So it's made up of Frollo Community and Frollo Dating, which are two separate modes. So we started in 2019, we went live with Frollo Community, which is Frollo Community makes it easy for single parents to discover like-minded local single parents in their local area, as well as connect in on a feed on the app where you can seek guidance or advice. And there's a meetup section where you can find or create meetups virtually or in real life. And there's a group chat section and a messaging section. And then Frollo Dating is the world's first fully user verified single parent dating app.
Oh, that sounds cool, actually. That sounds like a really good idea.
Thank you.
So how did this all start? 2019, so you're 3 years at it now. How did this all begin? Where was the first kind of idea?
So this all began because I became a single parent in 2017. When my son Billy had just turned one. So, and my relationship with his dad broke down. And it was a really hard time. I was really struggling. It was, you know, dealing with this sort of breakdown of a relationship. And then the grief of the family unit I'd always wanted falling apart, that kind of dream, I suppose, being shattered. And then also the grief of my son's family unit falling apart and the guilt that went with that. And then also contending with trying to manage parenting a one-year-old by myself. And, you know, that was really, really hard. So I didn't know any other single parents at the time, not one, like none of my friends or family were single parents. So it felt really isolating and really lonely. And I felt kind of on an island. And I also felt this shame and stigma attached to it. And it's only really when I look back now that I understand that, you know, that shame and stigma was attached to me feeling like I was the only one that I knew. So there was something wrong with me and that I failed. And also like the narrative around single parenting and the lack of kind of inclusivity of single parent families on TV, in programs, in like children's storybooks.
It's a good point, actually. Yeah, when you think about it logically, yeah, it's a really good point.
Yeah, all of that. So it's like all of these all of this conditioning that we're like, you know, nuclear families are real families, and you know, and heterosexual families are real families, or whatever, you know. So and even in even you know kind of holidays and, you know, kids centers, it's like, it's very rare that you find single parent family tickets. It's family tickets or, you know, and things like that. So there's actually quite a lot of discrimination against single parents inadvertently. So I think, but it's only now reflecting back that it's kind of, I can tap into different aspects of it. So anyway, I found myself really craving knowing other people in the same situation. So I was kind of wishing the weekends away. So I'd find myself on, you know, a Friday with suddenly feeling dread. Instead of that Friday feeling, I'd be like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And just seeing kind of families everywhere. And
did you kind of withdraw a little bit? Did you avoid doing things then at the weekend? Or did you kind of withdraw into yourself in your own little bubble with Billy?
I felt lonely, and I'm really lucky that I've got like great friends and family, but even being with friends and family, it kind of made me feel sad because it was being around other people in that family setup. And it felt isolating, and I didn't want to feel like I was imposing on anyone. I didn't want to feel anyone to feel sorry for me either. Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean. Even though in theory it should be good, it's actually not good. It's kind of like that torn thing of like, this feels good, but also bad.
Exactly. It's like, I want this, you know, I want people around and I want this support, but then, you know, you don't want to feel like a victim. Do you know what I mean? So then, you know, I really started craving knowing other people in the same situation. And I just thought, well, definitely there'll be something in this day and age, you know, some kind of community for single parents. So started looking for it, you know, started looking in the app store, started Googling, was looking at Facebook groups, all of that, and just couldn't find anything that was what was in my head or what I needed. You know, Facebook groups, like, quite honestly, a lot of them are quite grim. You know, there's people like bashing their exes.
They're a mixed bag, aren't they? Facebookers, they're a mixed bag.
It's like they're not uplifting, you know, and it's, you know, and it's not, and it wasn't like, oh my God, amazing, this person lives down the road from me, she's got a son my age, or he's got a son or whatever. you know, it's just didn't fit the bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, really wasn't looking to start a business, had quite a lot on my plate, you know, was just wishing that this existed. But then my idea of the kind of what the perfect solution was kind of forming in my head and whirring away in my head. And it just kind of took on a bit of a life of its own. And I just couldn't stop thinking about it and just feeling so frustrated that it didn't exist. And then I started sort of writing down notes on my phone, kind of getting it out of my head. And then, you know, I just really found myself, God, if only this existed, and just on every weekend going, if only this existed. And then I bumped into this this Irish mom who lives in my area of London. And, you know, we'd be acquaintances, we'd always stop and chat, and she's got a son the same age as my son. And so this one day when I bumped into her, she had a lovely tan, and I said, oh, you're just back from holiday, are you? And she mentioned that she'd just been away. It was just her and her son. And she said, Jesus, it was like just me and him, and I'm absolutely knackered. Like, I'm not sure it's much of a holiday when it's just, you know, you and them. And I said, oh, was your husband busy at work or something? And she said, no, we've been apart since my son was one. And I was like, what? So I said, all this time. I said, so I'm a single parent too. And I said, how did we not discuss this in all of our catch-ups, that when we stop and chat and our sons are like, you know, there beside us, like in the buggy or pulling out of our legs or whatever.
It's one of those things, though, it's very hard to like, oh, and in other news.
Like, yeah, because, and it's, and
where does
and
it come into the conversation? Also, yeah.
But it also feeds into the stigma and the shame, because you're not like, I got a new job. It's like, not like, hey, guess what? I'm a single parent, because you feel like, you know, there might be, it's not something you change your Facebook status too. Not that any of us have ever done that for about 15 years.
I was just going to say, not anymore. Before that was how anymore. It was done.
Yeah, showing my age. But yeah, so that was really interesting to me. And it made me realize that if her and I are living around the corner, literally around the corner from each other, have sons the same age, like that's the perfect, that's what I was looking for. And then I thought all those Sundays, all those play dates, all those like even awkward holidays, like, I don't know, Easter or Christmas or, you know, things, you know, when you could do with someone like that around. That for me was the complete light bulb moment of this has to happen. And also what I discovered before meeting her is that one in four families are single parent families in the UK and Ireland, and one in three in the US. And, you know, it's just a growing statistic because of the world we live in today, and people are more independent and going down the route of, you know, doing it by themselves, and people don't stay in relationships that they're not happy in, you know, for the sake of the kids. So yeah, that was it really.
That invisible barrier was kind of just torn apart. You could just see, oh, okay,
yeah,
that's, I am my own test case. I am my own case study. This is exactly what I'm trying to solve for. And she was just around the corner. So what did you do then? Like, because this is the bit that always gets people, right? Everyone has that idea that they can't leave alone. What did you do then to go, right, okay, I'm going to have to get this out of my head some way. This is going to have to go somewhere. So what did you decide to do? Or how did you even decide, right, this is what I'm doing?
Yeah, so I just wrote everything down. Just got everything out of my head. So I put it into like a business plan, even though, God, I'd actually be interested to look back at what that was now. Yeah. Definitely the vision is the same. For sure the vision is the same. But in terms of what it was going to be called and all of that, I'm sure that's, quite embarrassing. Some of the like earlier kind of ideas of names and things. But just tried to get it all out of my head. And then I, you know, when you think about, God, how do I get from this to this? It's so overwhelming. So it was just kind of putting it into little blocks of, right, this is what I want to get done in the next like 2 weeks. This is what I want to get done by whatever date. And I was, I guess, had a little bit of a window into what I was getting into, because before Frollo, I co-founded an app with a friend of mine. This is, that ended just as I was about to have my son. We kind of left it. But so I got a bit of a window into, you know, the world. So I wasn't completely blind going in, which was helpful. But what I did, like the first thing I did was go, right, I need someone to put my vision into, you know, kind of help me put it into a brand and help me turn it into an app, a product. And, you know, I made a mistake. I didn't shop around. I thought of someone that I knew who I thought, you know, this person would be able to help me, because I was just all gung ho and just wanting to do it now.
Yeah, you want the speed.
If I don't do it now, someone else will do it.
Oh,
feeling of this needs to happen. Like,
yeah, this is the most unique idea in the world. Someone's going to steal this right now. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've all been there.
So went, you know, kind of naively just went ahead. And what happened there was that 9 months of work and all of that, and then an app was created, which, you know, so it was going into beta testing. This was December 2018. Mm. So it really started, you know, when I started this whole journey was April 2018.
Yeah.
So that app was supposed to went into beta testing in December 2018, and it was supposed to go live shortly after that. And I had been getting very nervous in the months leading up to that, but kept getting told, don't worry, you know, I know it doesn't seem right now, but you're not going to believe it once we get to be, I mean, you're going to be blown away.
I'm definitely not going to believe it.
Yeah. And then anyway, it just was completely not fit for purpose. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, it was awful. So that was a really tough time because I had to make a decision then, do I just, you know, sort of disregard everything the last kind of, you know, since April, however many months that is, and start again, lose all the money, lose all the time, lose everything and start again? Or do I just hope for the best and hope that people will like it? And I just had to start again because I didn't connect with what had been created, it didn't even work, but it just wasn't. So it was, that was the first big lesson, you know, and there's definitely been other big lessons on the journey. But yeah, so that was tough. But what was really, well, I'm probably getting ahead of myself now. I'm answering the question of what I did to get started. Mm. But yeah, essentially get, you know, find what, so what I would say to people in that, who are starting, do your due diligence, to talk to as many kind of, if it's an app, you know, talk to as many agencies as you can, but try and talk to someone, anyone, you know, a friend of a friend, somebody who's got technical knowledge, who understands the technical world, because as a non-technical founder, you're in a vulnerable position. So to have somebody in your corner who you can trust, who is able to guide you, is going to like save you time and money and tears and stress. So that's the first thing I do. Find out who do you know that's technical in through your friends or family or colleagues or whatever, and just so that you can sanity check with them all of the different options that you can get on the table, and then get all of the agencies or whoever to do proposals based on what you're looking to build. And then you might find them interesting. You might go, well, this is so much cheaper than that one. But, you know, why is that? And then look at how they're breaking it down. How are they breaking it down? Are they realistic proposals? Is their timeline realistic? All of that, you know, because obviously sometimes you're just say, oh my God, well, these are the cheapest ones. So that's what I'm going, and they can do it in half the time. This is a no-brainer. But, you know, it might cost you so much more in the long run. So just having somebody who's got the technical wherewithal to be like, this doesn't look right, or you need to go back and fill in some gaps here or whatever, is what definitely essential.
It's such a common story, like as a non-technical founder.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what you don't know. Like you just genuinely, even scoping documents, I had a conversation with someone last week. They were in the exact same position as you, and someone else in the group, we were having a group discussion about it, and someone else was like, yeah, exactly your advice there. Find someone who can kind of just be your Sherpa and go, you know what? You're missing this, this, and this, and this. That won't actually even get into the app store because you haven't done X, Y, and Z.
Exactly.
You know, what happens if someone loses their password? You know, all those little things that you just don't know. Like you say, you're kind of at that stage, you just want it done. It's been burning away in your head for so long. You want to see it on a screen, and an app or a website is one of those things you're like, I just want to see it. I want to be able to just use
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you made the decision to walk away completely from all that code, all the work.
Everything started, absolutely everything again, even the logo, everything.
Oh, absolutely, you went right back. Single, you burnt down the whole house.
Burned down the whole house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Started again.
Tell me briefly how you made that decision, because that is hugely tough to that loss aversion. You know, the sunk cost fallacy of like, well, I've kind of spent this much, I better go with what I've done. Because it's often the best decision is to just write it off as a bad lesson.
It was such a bad lesson, but a lesson, I won't forget in a rush. I think, you know, really the question was, is this is this going to work? Is it going to reflect my vision? Is it going to do what? And the answer is no. I'm not proud of this. I don't want to launch this. It doesn't do any of it justice. It won't work. You know, it's not going to stick. But I guess the silver lining that came out of that situation was that it really helped me build the community. So like in October 2018, at the end of October 2018, I launched the Frodo Instagram. And I just, you know, did one post. My first post was just a photo of me and a kind of, you know, my story, really, why I was creating Frodo, my single parent story. And it just kind of went viral. Like all of the, I don't know how, because I had absolutely no understanding of social media or how Instagram really, really worked. You know, I put in a few hashtags and things like that, but, you know, it suddenly, I think it just resonated so much with so many single parents. So people were kind of sharing it, and suddenly all of these people started flocking to the Frodo Instagram. Then obviously, you know, a couple of months later, realized, okay, the app that I've been saying is launching in 2 months and everyone's excited about it, isn't going to happen. So then I realized, okay, it's going to be September 2019 when we launch. I found another agency. And so I had to keep those people engaged on the Frodo Instagram. And I was like, how am I going to do this? Because I've promised something that it's going to be, you know, now, and now it's going to be, you know, nearly 10 months later. So what happened was, it was a really organic thing. People started, you know, there was tons of messages coming in through the Instagram, Frodo Instagram, and people saying, oh my God, you know, this resonates so much. I'm a single parent, and, you know, or, you know, and does anyone know? Just suddenly people started kind of asking for advice. So I would post the advice to stories, but anonymously hide the username.
Oh yeah.
And then people would answer. So there'd be all these answers. So it was almost like a bit of an MVP thing of what you could experience on the app. And it really wasn't planned. It just was this organic thing that happened. And the engagement on our Instagram was absolutely insane at that time, because it was constant. And even people who weren't single parents, it was almost like reading this diary.
Yeah, people love knowing other people's business. There's nothing like it. But it shows you the power of a good story. It shows you the power of a good story. Like having a good story. And it also showed you there's demand. You hadn't even got out yet. And you're like, there's definitely going to be something here. That must have been heartening and kind of kept you going, I'd imagine.
That is a really good point. I think it was because I could see that I was getting that validation, that early validation. Because I think if I hadn't gotten that, I would have been like, I can't, like, I'm not, like, this is way too risky, you know, and this is like, I can't keep on giving this the time and energy and passion that I am if I don't even know that, you know. But I really could see there's really something here. So that was really great. And then, you know, so we had like thousands of people, you know, already really engaged in the community. And then we launched a kind of founding member app for the community, maybe 6 weeks before it went live, so that we could kind of convert the Instagram community over to be founding members. And that just meant that when we went live, there was density on the app. So immediately there were like, you know, I think a couple of thousand. So it made a big difference, instead of it being kind of one or two trickling in, you know, and it's like, no one's here, I'm gone. So it was a silver lining, that I couldn't kind of see or predict at the time, but it was a good thing to come out of, obviously, a bad situation.
You've kind of answered two questions for me there. I want to put it up that you were coming on, one of the listeners wrote in, Alan Donovan wrote in to ask how you got your first users, and you've kind of answered it there. And one of my questions for you is, building a community is bloody hard. We have a little community from the podcast, and it's so tough because you have to literally nurture it along and, you know, prod people and kind of cajole them. But it kind of seems like you'd identified such a need that there was a demand already there. You weren't trying to convince people that this was going to be the best thing ever. You already identified the need first.
Yeah.
Then convert.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think identified the need. And then I think there's just, you know, when you're a single parent, you know, there is such a lovely connection with other single parents. I think you have such a respect and empathy for other single parents because you know how hard it is, you know, and it's great in many ways, but it's also really hard and it's really challenging. And so I think people just having the opportunity to connect with other people in that space. And also when you're at the start of your single parent journey, you know, for a lot of people, you know, especially if it's coming from, you know, losing the other parent, you know, or a relationship breakdown, you know, it's very tough. And those early days are like, how do I put one foot in front of the other? So there's such appreciation for the access to community and support and other people, that I think people are so grateful and so appreciative. And you know, and even through lockdown, I think, like, really the thing that we hear most about the community is that it's a lifeline. That's what people say. This has been a lifeline when I needed it most. And, you know, now there are people in the community that I feel like I should be paying because they're kind of, they're
amazing. Advocates. Yeah.
Yeah. They're such passionate advocates and, you know, they do so much. They host weekly book, you know, weekly meetups, whether it's book clubs or Friday night drinks on the app, and they do so much. So I think I'm glad that, I guess, what Frollo is doing kind of speaks for itself in terms of what it gives to people. But I think how we kind of anchor that and make sure that it's a positive, supportive and good experience, and that it doesn't just turn into one of those grim Facebook groups or something like that, or one of those other communities that's just not very pleasant. We've got, you know, a set of values, and very simple, you know, four core values that everyone has to get on board with when they join. And if people can't get on board with them, they're gone. It's as simple as that. And they really kind of help anchor the community and keep it a kind of positive space. And then the Frollos really get behind those values and really champion those values. So in some respects, it's almost a self-policing community. You know, that people care about it and appreciate that it's such a positive place so much that if there's one bad apple, you know, people are like, okay, you know.
That's so interesting that you've managed to cultivate that, because I think that's part art, part science. I think it's very difficult to know, you know, it's like when you put a load of people in a room together, you're like, not sure how this is going to go. Could go well, could go bad. But you, by giving people a kind of a, not guidelines, guidelines is the wrong word, but giving people kind of an ethos and a general kind of like, we're all here on the same kind of mission. You know, we're all sharing this, you know.
Yes. Look,
get 100 people, there's going to be one or two that are a little bit strange or a little bit different and want to cause trouble. But 98%, 99% of people are good and genuine and want to help each other and just want to. It's funny, I read about your story first during lockdown and remember thinking, you know, communities are so powerful that during lockdown, especially. And then our mutual friend James was like, oh, you got to chat to Zoe. And I was like, absolutely. So the power of communities, I think, is now really coming to the fore when people were so isolated, like physically, literally could not go and see your friend. Never mind someone, you know, you didn't know. If you're already isolated prior to COVID, I think that must have 10x'd or 20x'd. During COVID. How did your members kind of find that? And how did you find that then as kind of an app and a business owner?
Yeah. So, well, just on that. So loneliness is a bigger killer than alcohol and tobacco. Mm-hmm. That's a real statistic, you know, and I can understand that, you know, it kind of makes sense to me. But yeah, in lockdown, when March 2020 hit, it was, you know, I guess the things that would kind of change the roadmap. So brought forward group chats and brought forward virtual meetups and just kind of got those product updates out as quickly as possible. So I think we got them, managed to get them out in like 3 weeks. But they were game changers because, you know, there were so many people in our community, single parents in our community during lockdown who didn't see another adult, like during the course of lockdown, and had their kids at home, were homeschooling, were like, so the evenings, there would be all of these virtual meetups happening in the evenings, and, you know, everything from like, you know, support groups, which were maybe a little bit more serious, to like Friday night drinks, which there was an Irish dad and an Irish Frollo dad and an English Frollo mom. Neither of them had ever met each other in real life, but they took on board hosting these Frollo Friday night meetups. They had cocktail clubs, so they picked a different cocktail every week. And I don't know if it's the Irish girl in me, but I was so proud to hear that, you know, they were finishing up at 3 or 4 in the morning, and then everyone was posting on the app the next day going, oh my God, I'm so hungover, I'm not joining ever again, but that was so much fun. And, you know, all of this banter and fun and lightness. So it's not that it's just like, oh, we're single parents, let's, you know, talk about how hard it is. It's not like that at all. Yeah. It's such a, it's everything encompassing. And so really the community really, I have to say, whereas there was a lot of in real life meetups happening before then, and that was a huge kind of focus.
I wanted to ask you that. Yeah. Have you managed to balance kind of offline versus online, and how did you do that?
Very much so, kind of organically, because there's some people who just, you know, now want to, you know, now that, you know, the world is semi coming back to normal, people want to meet in real life. And then there are some people who might live in a more remote area, or some people who are actually a bit more introverted, who like the idea of being on a virtual meetup, and they might not even, you know, they might not even have their camera on. They might just be kind of quietly enjoying the chat and maybe ask a question. So it depends on what your situation is, or what your needs are, what you know, there's something for everybody really. And then, you know, obviously there's plenty of people who get involved in both. But no, there's a lovely mix of both in real life and virtual, and everything from play dates to camping trips to holidays to book clubs to wine and painting nights to meditation to yoga, everything.
Apart from the early stages of the app development, what's been the biggest challenge you've faced over the last 3 years, apart from COVID, obviously?
It's probably in the last couple of months is a big challenge. In one way, it's been one of the most exciting times for us, because we've just launched our dating app. We launched that in March, but we've had to move away from our development agency. So another kind of development agency struggle. But yeah, it's, you know, it's one of these things where you have to look at things and, you know, and just think what is going to make the most sense for the future of the business, what's going to create the best high quality product, what, you know, and all of this, and with that, you know, some tough kind of realizations were made, and some tough decisions. But, you know, I feel like now I can, you know, I think about, you know, a month or 6 weeks ago, I was kind of like, couldn't sort of see the woods for the trees, and almost like had one of those moments of, you know, what's the path forward here? This is all actually really challenging and really hard. And I'm not quite, and, you know, you think about your financial runway and all of this and your investors, and suddenly everything's like, I actually need a magic wand right now to, you know, and that's what it felt like. And so, you know, but kind of coming through that woods now, and it's been a very Yeah, it's been a very uncomfortable time and a challenging time, but I'm really grateful that it's happened, because it's like, I feel like it's just, we're about to go in. It's kind of like the end of one chapter and the beginning. It really feels like the beginning of a better one. And I can already feel like the right things are falling into place. And so I think, as a founder, and this is what people were sort of coaching me on in the last sort of 6 weeks, is you just got to get through those really, like, you know, tough times where you can't see, it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I think once you get through, sometimes you're like, okay, actually we're better now because of this, you know.
Do you have a process that you kind of run through, or do you have like a playbook? You've just come out the far side, and I think that's often the best time to kind of reflect on something. So you're like, right, this is, I'm not going to forget this lesson. Do you have like, do you have a process, or do you have like mentors, or what's your process when things get really sticky?
To talk to, there's a couple of people I really trust that I can talk to. So I have a very good friend of mine who is a female founder, and she's a few years ahead of me on the journey, and she has been an amazing sounding board and mentor. And just because being a solo founder is lonely as well, you know, and so she's been amazing. I also have a coach, a kind of executive coach who I've been probably having sessions with now for a couple of months, and that's been very valuable, because it's kind of going and feeling like I don't, you know, oh my God, everything's so overwhelming. And by the end of the session, things are kind of very clearly put into, okay, well, this is my focus. I'm going to do these three things, and just helping you kind of almost package it up and feeling like, okay, it's not completely a mess or out of my control. And you know what? I think one thing that, you know, in hindsight, which, and as you know, I had COVID for a couple of weeks in this whole time. So I kind of had no choice but to take my foot off the pedal compared to what I'd usually be like, which is like, almost like just trying to keep everything going and like, you know, answering emails like late at night for fear that like something wouldn't get done in the morning and all of this.
Yeah.
But I kind of went from sort of, you know, operating at 100% down to, I would say, like 40%. And then things started kind of just moving. I think sometimes you actually just have to you have to keep things moving, but just not hold on so tight. I think that's really important sometimes, to just let things move in their own way. Do what you can, but not be so kind of rigid with it all.
I think that's beautiful advice, because I think everyone has to learn that. And again, it's like, if you're told that at the start, you can't, because I think some of the busyness is kind of like a comfort thing. You kind of just want to be doing something. Oh, look, I'm working away. Oh, look, I'm going.
Yeah.
But it's often when you're forced to, that you're like, oh, it didn't fall apart. I'm not this crucial cog that if I'm not there, oh, nothing will get done. And suddenly you step back and you're like, oh, yeah, things are actually ticking along. They're fine. It's a good lesson.
So that's,
it's a big lesson.
It's a great lesson. Yeah. And I'm so grateful for it, because I'm like, oh my God, I can like, you know, hang out with my son and play football with him or whatever, and not feel like, oh my God, I should be answering him. I haven't gotten back to this person. It's okay. Nothing's going to end. The whole world is still going to be there. Like, you know.
And I think it's the nature of your business as well. I think having an app or a community, there is a little bit of kind of online-ish, a bit 24/7-ish about stuff like that. It is kind of the being of itself. I think when things get a life of their own, it can be challenging. But also, I suppose you're at the stage now where it's kind of nearly leaving home now. It's off to college. It's kind of, it's nearly self-sustaining to a point, as in like you have ambassadors.
Well, you learn
to work for it.
Yeah, and you learn, like in the app experience itself, we've learned a lot about sort of automation and recording and things like that. But then, as you say, it's getting the right people in the mix and people in the team who you, you know, who you trust. Like, that's crucial. And yeah, so it, you know, and yeah, and then just letting go sometimes.
If you were giving advice to an entrepreneur just starting out maybe in 2022, what would your kind of bits of advice? I used to ask people, oh, tell me what advice you give to yourself when you're starting out. But I think that's often a really hard question to ask because you're like, well, it kind of got me to where I am, so I'm kind of okay. But for other people starting out in 2022, based on everything you've learned over the last, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, what would that be?
I think the most important thing for me to have been able to continue on and like still be sitting here today is just being so connected to the purpose and the, you know, and the and the vision. Like, for me, that's where I get all of my passion and energy from. And as I mentioned earlier, it, you know, really helps when that's validated by the community as well. When I see, okay, well, this really is doing something. So, but I think if I was driven by, you know, if I was driven, you know, if I don't think I'd still be here if I wasn't so connected to this. So, you know, I don't think I'd still be here or care as much if it was like, oh, I'm just going to think of a business. What does the world need? But there wasn't that like personal.
I get exactly, you know, what you mean. Yeah,
connection. Or if it was money led, you know, I just don't think it would have the same ability to really keep you like, yeah, just really kind of keep you, because it's definitely hard. So I think in order to be able to get through, I don't think anyone knows how hard it's going to be like starting out. I think it's so hard. So, you know, it's so rewarding. It's so great, but it really is such a cliche, but it really is a roller coaster. And, you know, I say to friends who are founders as well, it's like kind of a bipolar existence, because one day I'm like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. I feel so lucky. I'm doing what I love. And the next day it's like, why would anyone do this? Why would anyone put themselves through this? So I think in order to be on board with that, you really have to feel like, you know, really connected to it.
There really is. It is literally exactly like you said, it's like that roller coaster of like, oh, this is going to be fun. Oh no, this is terrible. Oh, this is fun again. This is going to be terrible. It really is. You're super busy, right? And I always ask entrepreneurs this because I'm kind of nosy and I kind of try to always steal a little bit from someone. How do you plan your week, you know, day, quarter? What does that look like for you? How do you make sure everything gets done? Because you kind of touched on it there about being super busy, but also being able to now balance a bit more. How do you do that?
Yeah, so I co-parent. My son Billy is now 6, and I have him 50% of the time. He's with his dad 50% of the time. And how it works with us is that we do two nights during the week each, and then alternate weekends. So I really try and map things around that. So when Billy's with his dad, I, you know, will kind of get all the meetings in, and I really try and, you know, really try and spend at least one afternoon with him when I pick him up from school, you know, doing something, you know, nice with him and having that time without feeling guilty. So I really kind of look, you know, there's certain meetings that are kind of in the diary, like clockwork, like on a Monday morning, we'll do our team meeting and all of that. And then, you know, other things are based around my co-parenting schedule. But yeah, I'm kind of, you know, my day generally, like all day, every day, you know, kind of working, but I definitely try and fit in, you know, a walk where I can, like, a long walk, and I might be doing work calls during that time, or sometimes even I'm on meetings going, sorry, I hope you don't mind that I'm out walking. But, you know, I think it's important if you feel like
that's good, though. I think that's fine. I think people are super accessible. I think people are quite happy to. I think it's a good way. I don't care if people are out walking. I think it's good.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I just try and make sure that I've got a good balance of everything in. You know, obviously work takes up a lot of my time, but to make sure I have some good, nice quality time with my son. Same with friends. That's really important to me, to keep me sane, to have like some, you know, nice times in, social times in, and then some exercise as well, ideally. Yeah.
Balance and everything. And that's something we've kind of learned.
As much as possible.
I know you got a meeting. I know you got a meeting. I'm going to let you go now. One sec. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the other thing, like the other weapon I have is just getting enough sleep. I mean, I think sleep is
highly underrated.
Yeah.
My whoop keeps me relatively in check with what I'm doing.
Yeah. No, it makes such a difference. Yeah.
One last question, Zoe. Has there been a book that you've enjoyed along your journey, kind of made a difference to you kind of personally, professionally? Any kind of gems you picked up along the way?
A book, personally or professionally. I mean, it's not, I'm trying to think of, so I've got a ton of sort of, you know, work related books, but none of them are jumping to me. But the book that I always say I love, it's a kind of personal one, is a book called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz.
I've heard of this, haven't read it.
It's really good.
Someone recommended this before. I think someone recommended this a few months ago. The Four Agreements.
The Four Agreements. And it's just got four kind of principles of life. And in a way, they're sort of, you know, it's what I was saying about the Frollo community and Frollo dating now, values that we have. It really... It's just amazing principles to live by, really amazing principles to live by. So, yeah.
I love it. Zoe, where can people learn a little bit more about Frollo?
So you can go to frollo.com, which is our website, which gives you all of the kind of info about Frollo dating and Frollo community, and our blogs on there, and links to download the apps, and then Frollo dating on Instagram, and Frollo app on Instagram as well.
Class. And I think you're just about to roll out or even wider across Ireland and the UK as well in June.
So Frollo community is live all across the UK and Ireland, but Frollo dating, which is only live in London and surrounding areas, will be live across the whole of the UK and Ireland by the end of June.
Cool. That'll be just after this episode comes out. So it's perfect timing. So thank you so much for joining. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Really enjoyed chatting.
Hope you enjoyed my chat with Zoe. I'll be back here on Monday for the Idea Lab as normal. Go check out the podcast on all social media. Just type in The Entrepreneur Experiment and you can follow me, Mr. Gary Fox, on all social media platforms. You also now check out the pod on YouTube. Just search The Entrepreneur Experiment. I'll see you back here next week.